In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Blessed feast to all of you. May the prayers of St. Nicholas, our patron, be with you this day and every day of your life, and be with you into the kingdom. The Orthodox veneration of saints, the taking of saints' names and patrons, the beseeching for the prayers and intercessions of the saints, is something that for many people in our world is difficult to wrap their brain around, to wrap their hearts and minds around. For some, it seems as if we are ascribing to humans that which is only the work of God. And for others, it seems as we are ascribing to something that is superstition, that which is the work of nature. We find that on the one hand, it seems as if men are not able to do the work of God, and on the other hand, as if men are not able to do the work of God because they are nothing but the specimens of a natural process. And the reality is that we find ourselves continually poisoned by the lie from the serpent. The lie from the serpent says to us that there is not a place for mankind in all of God's heaven and earth. That on the one hand, we have fallen and therefore we are not permitted to be in the presence of God. And on the other hand, we are nothing but the processes of nature, and there is nothing that is inspired with regard to that. And so we find that not only taking patrons, not only the saints and their intercessions, but man himself is both a stumbling block to some and foolishness to others. The poison from the serpent is that we do not belong either to God or to nature. But the church is the healing of all of that. And we have many instances within the church, many of our practices that are putting into practice the healing of humanity within ourselves and within the entirety of our human nature, the shared human nature of all of us, and in fact, all of creation. We look at this from the perspective of receiving new life so often. But really what we are receiving is the life that was already intended for us, and we are being restored to it. We find that with the taking of names, whether it's for a community, as St. Nicholas is our patron and our name communally, or if it is for us as an individual, my name, Matthew, taking the name of the apostle, whether it is through our initiation into the community of the saints by asking for their intercessions, or if it is into the community of those who are becoming saints by asking their intercessions, we find a place where we belong. And it is no longer so confusing to us about where we belong and what our work is. Let me give you a story briefly. This is not about St. Nicholas, although I have one about him as well, but this is about my own experience before I was even Orthodox and another Orthodox saint. One of many, in fact. I could tell even earlier stories than this one, but this one I think is one worth telling. I was living in England, and I had gone to Lindisfarne, which I did not know was an Orthodox monastery when it was created. And I did not know that the monks and the saints who were there were Orthodox, because I did not know about the Orthodox Church. But I went nonetheless as a student of Christian history, and I found myself one Sunday out on the far island, just outside of the causeway, on an island that was called St. Cuthbert's Island. And I had gone out there before the services of the Sunday morning in order to do my own prayers and devotions. And I sat out there, and I knew that there was a tide that came in every morning and went back out. And I had a schedule for that because they had a causeway from the island of Lindisfarne to the mainland. And you had to know that schedule to know when the road was not going to be flooded and you could drive out or drive back and not be stranded. And I was smart, I thought. So I had that schedule. I was like, I have this amount of time to be out on this island. And so I'm out there and I'm saying my prayers and doing my devotions, and I see that it is time for me to head back, partially because of the services and partially because of the tide, and I stand up. It was a small island, small as no bigger than this room here, but it was a mound probably as tall as the roof is. But up on top of that, there was a hole that was dug out, and that had been the place where a hut had been built for St. Cuthbert. And so I had been down inside of that hole and unable to see the environs around me. It was a beautiful place to say my prayers. And I stood up and I looked around and there was water everywhere. Because as smart as I was with my schedule for the causeway, the tide came up earlier to the island than it did to the road. And I stood up and I looked around and I was like, oh my goodness, I am stranded on an island. And as a side note, having read Kidnapped and Crusoe and Treasure Island, all those things, there was a part of me that always wanted to be stranded on an island. I found myself stranded on an island. And I looked around and there was nothing but water, but it's close enough that it's hollering distance to the main Lindisfarne Island. And I see somebody walking, somebody who was in the group that we were traveling with. And I hollered across the water to them and they hollered back. And we essentially said, go get the priest or talk to somebody and see if they're able to help me out. But we'd already been warned the evening before by the priest or at the beginning of the trip that anybody who got stranded out on an island was going to be stranded out on the island most likely until the tide receded, because the locals were fed up with those of us tourists who got stranded on islands. And so I was resigned to that. So she went off, and I did not expect to get any assistance. And I got back down into the hole, and I started praying again. And I even prayed to St. Cuthbert, though I was not one who prayed to saints. And I was sitting there, and I was doing my prayers, and I heard a noise. And I stood up, and there at the foot of the island, again, not bigger than this room right here, I'm looking down to like where you are right there, and there is an otter that has come up out of the water and is sitting there on the island and looking at me, and I'm looking at it, and I talk to it because I'm foolish, and I talk to it, and then it gets back into the water, and I get back into my hole, and I go back to my prayers. And after a little while, I hear another sound, but this is the sound of an engine. And I think, oh, they sent somebody to get me. Lord have mercy, thank God. And I stand up, and sure enough, it is a boat that is coming. And so the boat comes up to the island, and they get me off of the island and into the boat. And I say, thank you so much for coming and getting me. Who sent you? Oh, nobody. We saw you stand up on the island. We were out working on a buoy in the stream, and we saw you, so we came to get you when we were done. And they brought me to the island, and I went into the church. And in the church, there was something else that was going on parallel to all of this. In the church, they had gone to the priest. They told him, he said, nobody's going to go get him. He's going to have to wait. And so they started the service. And it kind of, everybody found out, a small community, that I was stranded out on the island. I was the celebrity of the moment. And a little girl in a family, she's standing there, she's heard all of this, and here I come walking into the church. And they had just prayed. I don't know what the service was like for them in that service, because I missed it. But at that moment, they had just prayed for the guy who got stuck out on the island. And then I walked in the doors immediately afterwards. And she saw me. She looked at me. She looked at her parents. She looked at me, looked at her parents. They took me to tea afterwards at their house. And so that's how I got all the details of the story. And she whispered to her, she asked her parents, can I go stand by that guy? And so they said yes. And she came and stood by me. I had no idea who she was. I'd never seen her in my life. And she came and she stood by me and I said hi. And then after a moment, she just reached up and she touched my clothing. I realized afterwards she was trying to see if I was soaking wet. Did I swim across or not? And it was in November on the North Sea. There was no way I was going to be swimming across all of that. So, the question that is raised is, who is it that saved us? God? The men on the boat? The otter? The girl? The prayers of the priest? The community that prayed? Which one? Was it only God and nobody else had a hand in it? Was there no room for the communion of saints and their prayers? Was it only the guys on the boat who happened to see me stand up? Was it the otter who caused me to stand up? Or was it all of them? We said in one of our prayers about one of our hymns about St. Nicholas today that he is the initiate of grace, which is actually a phrase about the priesthood. And the priesthood is actually about the royal priesthood of all believers. And the royal priesthood is really about the high priesthood of God, of Christ himself. He is, we know, the initiate of all grace. And yet, in his priesthood, he gives to us a part, all of us. Some, in order to remind all of us a specific role, but to all of us. And he gives to us a new name. We know this to be an eternal name, but the beginning of how we come to know that name is through the saints we take as patrons. My name is Matthew. Matthew means the gift of God. And I will every once in a while remind my family that I am a gift. But that's not what the name means. The name is about the promise of the gift of God that he gives to us. And when I remember my name, I don't remember myself as being the gift, though I might be, because we all are. I remember that there is a promise that God has given to us, that he will gift something to us, that he is the great gift giver. And that is why I always preach that everything is gift, even as I am trying to learn that lesson myself. And you have a name, and that name is a promise that is given to you. And it is not just about you. St. Nicholas is not just about us. His name is a promise that is given to us about the protection and the guardianship that he gives to us, the refutation of falsehood and the upholding of truth, the vigilance and the vigor of faith, and the wondrous beauty of hospitality. And it is given to us as a promise for ourselves, but also as a vocation to be these things to the world around us. And your name is a promise that is given to you, written in the book of life. Every time you even come to confession, you stand before the book of life that has your name in it. You look at the God who holds your name, who reminds you of who you are, as you confess who you have pretended to be and being recalled back to who you truly are. And because this is true, the saints and we can do the work of God. We can be a royal priesthood. We can be initiates of grace into the world. We can be the church. When we venerate our patron saint, we thank God and the saint for the manifold ways in which we have received the hospitality of God, the ways in which we have had truth given to us and upheld within our life, the ways in which we have been pulled out of our own delusions and falsehoods, how we have found ourselves once distanced from God and now close to him. And we have once found ourselves at the mercy of the material world, of processes of nature, but now we are supernatural. We have found the place where we belong between the two and uniting the two through the promise that God has given to us, the hope with which we live, the faith that we give to God, and the hospitality we give to the world. That is what it means to be a saint. That is what it means to have a patron who reminds us of who we are and where we belong and what our vocation is. And that is worthy of the praise of God and the glory to God. That is worthy of honoring and venerating those who remind us of who we are, of where we belong, and what we are called to do. May we take this to heart today as we celebrate the feast of our patron. May we be inspired with all the vigor of faith, the liveliness of faith that St. Nicholas himself had. May our life be truly a alive life before God, so that we also might become initiates of grace in the same way that Nicholas is for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me.